اوپر کے جائے راد مادھما جایا کنج بہاری جایا راد جایا راد مادھما جایا کنج بہاری جایا راد گوپی جگا بنا جایا گری بر دھاری جایا گری بر دھاری جایا گوپی جنا منگا جایا گری بر دھاری جایا گری بر دھاری جایا جایا جشودا نندنا جایا برج جن رنجنا جایا جشودا نندنا جایا جمنا تیر بن جاری جن کنج بہاری جایا جمنا تیر جایا راد مادھبا جایا کنج بہاری جایا راد گوپی جنا بنا جایا گری بر دھاری جایا گری بر دھاری جایا گوپی جنا بنا جایا جایا یشودا نندنا جایا جمنا تیر بن جاری جایا کنج بہاری جایا جمنا راد مادھبا جایا کنج بہاری جایا راد مادھبا جایا گوپی جنا بنا جایا گری بر دھاری جایا گری بر دھاری جایا جایا جشودا نندنا جایا برج جن رنجنا جایا جمنا تیر بن جاری جایا کنج بہاری راد مادھبا جایا کنج بہاری
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. యుగధర్మ హరినామ మహాసంకీర్తన కి జయ ఓం విష్ణు పాద పరమహంసోత్తర సరస్వతి భక్తిధరామ స్వామి ప్రభుపాద కి జయ ఇస్కాన్ పాదచాల జగద్గురు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద కి జయ జయ గంధరాజ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి జయ గౌర ప్రభావండి తమ వేద భక్త బృందకి జయ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది సింపతి డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది సింపతి డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది సింపతి డివోటీస్ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ గౌరవ ప్రభావండి గౌరవభక్త బృందకి
అమయానాత్మనిరంధశ జ్ఞానంజనశలకయ చక్షురోన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః నమో విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రశ్నాయ భూతల శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష సునవాదే పశ్యత దేశ తారిణే హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు दीन बंधु जगत पते गोपेश गोपिक कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। सप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामनि हरि प्रिय हंसाकल्पतरुभ्यश कृपासिन्धो वचां पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद आलोल चंद्रकवच वनमाल वंशी रत्नांगदं प्रणय केलिकालाविनाशं श्यामं त्रिभंगललितं नितप्रकाशं गोविंदवादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि। अद्वैतमच्युतमनादिम् अनन्तरूपम् आद्यं पुराणपुरुषं नवयौवनं च वेदेषु दुर्लभम् अदुर्लभम् आत्मभक्तं गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि। रामादिमूर्तिषु कवनियमेन तिष्ठन् नानावतारलकनो भुवनेषु किन्तु कृष्ण स्वयं समबभार परम पुमान्यो गोविंदवादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि। गोविंदवादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि। गोविंदवादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि। कृष्णाया वासुदेवं देवके नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो
கிருஷ்ண பகவானுக்கு கௌரப்பிரமானே ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய
నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ముదిరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అవధేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. జై గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి. రీడింగ్ దిస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం దిస్ మార్నింగ్ ఇస్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 25 ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ రీడింగ్ టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 26. So please respond. Tair Tair Darshaniya Bayabir Darshaniya Bayabir Udara Udara Vilasa హసేక్షిత వామసుక్తై హితాత్మనో హిరిత ప్రాణాంశ చ భక్తి అనిశ్చతో మే గతిం అన్విం ప్రయుంతే తైర్దశానియా భయభై ఉదార తైర్దశనియా భయభై ఉదార విలాస విలాస హసేక్షిత వామసుక్తై విలాస హసేక్షిత వామసుక్తై హితాత్మనో హిత ప్రణాశ భక్తి హితాత్మనో హిత ప్రణాంశ చ భక్తి అనీశతో మే గతి మన్విన్ ప్రయుంక్తే అనీశతో మే గతి మన్విన్ ప్రయుంక్తే తైర్దర్శనీయా వాయవే ఉదార విలాస హసేక్షిత వామసుక్తై హితాత్మనో హృద ప్రణాంశ భక్తి అనీశతో మే గతి మన్విన్ ప్రయుంక్తే తై బై దోస్ ఫార్మ్స్ దర్శనీయ చార్మింగ్ Avayabai, whose limbs, Udara, exalted, Vilasa, pastimes, Hasa, smiling, Iksita, glances, Bama, pleasing, Sukte, whose delightful words, Hirita, captivated, Atmanaha, their minds, Hirita, captivated, Pranan, their senses, Cha, and Bhakti, devotional service, Anitsataha, unwilling, me, my, గతిం అబోధ్
Anbim subtle. Pranumte secures. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Jor se prem se boliye.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing His very pleasing words, that pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. There are purport by Prabhupada. There are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and the third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, and the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Brahma Bhoyaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya, otherwise he is the eternal Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee who is not advanced in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. Saranayan Pitaha. With great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respect and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan, and Ram and Sita are very attractive to devotees, so much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonators like Sukadeva Goswami and the poet Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations and by the aroma of tulsi offered to the Lord, and they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. Here the word vilas is very important. Vilas refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time, he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is a system in Vrindavan that in every temple, there is a recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees, who have no literary knowledge, or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam, or Bhagavad Gita, get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord.
His form, His activities and His transcendental nature. The state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated state. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. Number one, to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Number two, to associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. Number three, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And number four, to see the decorated temple and the deity if possible. And number five, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These five items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that third class devotees can also imperceptibly receive, achieve liberation, is accepted in all the Vedic literatures.
Hey, Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki.
So, I'm very happy to see many specialty Srila Prabhupada and wonderful deities, Radha Ras Pyari, Vita Lalita Vishaka, and Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, the Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, the altar, and Sitaram Lakshmana Hanumanji, and all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis of Hare Krishna land. So the altars are very shining. So the deities are very happy. And so Prabhupada is very pleased. So I always thought that because of the weather here in this area, because of the ocean, see all the time, you know, these altars are, you know, they're very regularly smeared by oxides. Because there was some metal before, and oxides are formed, and so therefore disfigures. But now with this structure, with this rearrangement of the beautiful altars, it's very opulent. So it's like in the Vaikuntha planet. Vaikuntha means there is a opulent. It's like when you go to Tirupati, when Balaji said Balaji is worshipped great opulence. So the chavas is the Vrindavan worship, Vrindavan mood, but nonetheless, it is wonderful. So, therefore, a lot of wonderful things will happen in Bombay. Mumbai, Prabhupada, please. So this verse is very important. Now, talking about devotional service. You see, first of all, we have to inquire ourselves that why do I come? Why do I come to join Hare Krishna movement? We all come to Hare Krishna movement to join Srila Prabhupada's mission. Because somehow or other, you know, we have done some in our past lives, some karma, some good karma, let's say, some good activity. So as a result of that, the Lord is so merciful that He has brought us to Srila Prabhupada's movement. But therefore, we are talking about first class, second class, third class devotees. You see, devotees, the Vaishnavas, as the Vaishnavas of the Lord, we are all servants. We are all the servants and the servants of the Lord. So this is our mood. That generally, in the Vaishnava culture, we said, I am the most fallen. I am even below even the third class. I am the lowest. So this mood, this is actually the culture of in the devotional life. So once we have developed this culture, then automatically, of course, by the blessings of the Lord and by the blessings of the spiritual master, that we can understand what is the ultimate duty that we have to perform. I think that this is a very important principle in devotional life. So therefore, see, worship of the deities, like in the form of, see, this is a sometimes, you know, we have to go a little deeper. But a lot of people say, well, you know, you are worshipping like a, you know, deities made of stone and it is other materials. But at the same time, it is said the nature of the Supreme Lord is called Nirguna Brahman. Nirguna means without attributes. But actually, but in our understanding, it is a transcendental attribute. Similarly, it's a deity worship, the deity forms, or Guru Maharaj Prabhupada explains, called Saguna Brahman. Saguna means Vaidhi. There are several definitions of Saguna Brahman, that in the sense that when the Brahman or the transcendental nature is a somehow, you know, mixed with the modes of material nature, that sometimes it is also called Saguna Brahman. But in this particular case, Saguna Brahman is actually transcendental, because the Lord, by the presence of the Lord, so just like the body of pure devotee is called transcendental. It's like Prabhupada, transcendental to the body, the pure devotee of the Lord. Because although the body, see, this body is made of chemicals, in all chemistry, and ordinarily, the scientists will say that this is an ordinary, let's say, this is body made of chemicals. But when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, then, you know, this body has nothing to do with the material aspect. So therefore, it is a transcendental. So therefore, this is Saguna Brahman and the Nirguna Brahman is a, in the Vaishnava understanding, is a transcendental. So therefore, temple, and at the same time, deity worship, like this, the Lord is made of these materials, but then when it is installed with the proper authorized process, therefore we do this prana pratistha. We install it, the deity properly according to the authorized instructions given in the scriptures. Therefore, it is not an ordinary thing. It is the Lord Himself manifested in this way, so that simple devotees like us, like ordinary devotees like us, we can identify much more easily, because we are used to deal with each other as individuals in our daily life. So similarly, when you see the Lord like that, you can identify much more easily. So therefore, the Lord is so merciful that in order to inspire a sincere devotee of the Lord, that the Lord has appeared in this form. But it is a transcendental. So this has to be understood in this way. But therefore, we have to study ourselves internally. Think that asking, who am I? What is my duty? Why do I come to Krishna consciousness movement? And what am I supposed to do? I think this we have to ask this regularly, every minute, every day, to inquire this. Then we'll be able to go beyond the modes of nature, beyond ahankar. In other words, unless one is situated properly in this understanding, in this culture, that when one is affected by these external modes of nature, it's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. You see, the modes of nature, that Satarajatama, these are three gunas of this prakriti, the gunas are so powerful that even the most advanced great soul maybe is liable to be affected. So that point is to say, we have to be extremely careful that our devotional, let's say, part is not blocked by this great wall of the material, most of material nature. So once we come to that platform, then it is a very natural that one will make progress. Now here, at the end of purport, Prabhupada also mentions here that it's also there in the Nectar of Devotion, that these are five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. So he said that first of all, we must always chant this Mahamantra in the form, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And also it is called Yuga Dharma, in the age of Kali. that we live in the age of Kali. So the modern terminology of Kali Yuga is age of science and technology. You see, science, we live in the age of science and technology, right? So this is the modern translation of Kali Yuga. But in this, what happens is that the quarreling mentality become very prominent. We have to live with this. God, there's no complaint, because this, the Kali Yuga is supposed to be in the age of science and technology. You have to fight, otherwise you are not worthy of living in the age of Kali. So, because it is a symptom. The symptom of the age of Kali is that people are very prone in fighting, in arguing, and each other. You see all this war, Iraq war, all this terrorism, you see, all this bomb blasts, you know. All these things are, you know, it's not going to reduce, it's going to only increase. So therefore, you have to, this is called a reality. The nature of reality in the age of Kali is going to be like that. So, in the age of Kali, science and technology, also we have to be very practical in our devotional service. So we should practice, let's say, Krishna consciousness in a scientific way. So in scientific way is a very interesting terminology that Prabhupada used many times. Scientific. So what do you mean by scientific? So, does anybody have an answer? It's not very easy, but I can explain that scientific means that something that there is a say, for example, theoretical knowledge. The knowledge says, for example, people say that smoking is not good, right? We heard from the cigarette, you see, the Surgeon General has stated that the smoking causes cancer. It is dangerous in the level, in the cigarette, you know, that the box. So therefore, people know it. But there are many people who don't follow. They buy and they, you know, they smoke, right? That means such persons, although he has the theoretical knowledge, but he is not practicing. Therefore, he is not a scientist. Scientist means, or scientific means, what is stated something truth or something useful that we apply this in our practical life, in a daily practical life, moment to moment. Moment to moment in practical life. So therefore, we say, don't smoke or don't use cigarette. Then if we follow it, then it's called scientific. So similarly, Krishna consciousness. That you chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly, daily. That you have heard this from so many, let's say, devotees. But to a new person, then when you say, my dear, such and such. So please chant this Maha Mantra about, this will give you a wonderful feeling. You feel happy and then you develop all the wonderful qualities. But if he doesn't chant, then he is not able to understand it scientifically. In other words, he is not a scientist. He is not able to use it in daily life. So therefore, he will not get the result. So therefore, he will only be attracted by Maya, because he is not able to use it. So therefore, it cannot be scientifically understood. But when, in other words, practical application of the teachings of the scriptures in daily life is called scientific, in a simple way. And so you use it in daily life, and apply it in your daily duty, then you get the result. So therefore, science means you can get the result. But if you don't do it, then you are not scientific, then you are not a scientist, and then you don't understand. It's not that theoretical. So this is a very simple. So Prabhupada said, this is scientific and science in many avenues. He said, make Manipur a scientific Vaishnava culture. First step. He said, scientific. Prabhupada told me that make Manipur as the first scientific Vaishnava state. Scientific Vaishnava state means the people should follow four regulative principles. Then they become scientists. Well, you follow four regulative principles, because it's said it by the scriptures, they become automatically scientists. Scientist doesn't necessarily mean that you go to the college or university, have a degree in some subject in some science. Not necessarily you are a scientist. That is degree, let's say. Of course, you know, people say that you are a scientist. We have some degree in physics or in chemistry. But that's one thing. But if you do not apply what is, you know, being taught in your, let's say, you know, daily subject matter, if you don't use it, then you don't really know. You don't, because the result will not be there. So similarly, in devotional life, it's very important to realize that this is terminologies today, that the scientific means, in the devotional praxis, whatever is being stated in the scriptures, do you apply it in your daily life? You use it in your daily life. Then the result will be there, practical result. Then become scientific, become scientist. So, this is a very, you can go many different discussions, but this is the proper understanding according to Prabhupada's instructions. So therefore it is a very, very, very important to realize, you see, in the matter of spiritual life, you see, in this process, you see, the knowledge is given. The knowledge is given by the combined blessings of the spiritual master and the Lord Sri Krishna. So, yasa devi para bhakti, yatha devi tatha guru, tasaite katitahi artha, prakasante mahatmana. So this is the principle of the scripture, saying that by the combined blessings of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the knowledge will be revealed. The knowledge is called revealed. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is called revealed knowledge, means the knowledge is given through the parampara process. So this parampara process, so that is how in Krishna consciousness we follow this principle. So we follow this with the evam parampara praptam. The knowledge has to be received through the process of parampara. So if this knowledge, therefore in devotional life, in devotional service, if this is not practiced in our daily life, then I am not understanding my devotional duty. Therefore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says in the Sukshastakam, what is Gauranga Mahaprabhu says? The qualification of a devotee is that Trinada Pishuni Chaina, Taroripi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is the qualification that one has to recognize that one must be very humble. Humble means one must be very, very respectful to every living being. You can be respectful to the mosquito, you can be respectful to any living form of life, to the plants, to the trees, to the dolphins, and to everyone. So this is the qualification of a Vaishnava and a Vaishnavi. So it's by that, the example that is mentioned by Gauranga Mahaprabhu is called Trinada Pishuni Chaina. So one must be humbler than the grass. It's a very wonderful example. You see, the grass never complains. We walk over the grass on the road, but the grass never complains. So that the spirit of humility is very interesting. Now that is called the science of humility. Scientific study of humility. This is one of the very important fields of study today in science and spirituality dialogue. It's called humility. How do you understand the scientific process of humility? This is there are institutions around the world spending billions of dollars to study about it called science of humility. This is there. It is because this is recognized by the scientists today, that without humility, that it is never, never, never going to be possible to understand what is the nature of reality. That nature of reality means about the science of God, about the science of life, about the science of Jivatma. So without this, it is not possible to understand this intricate, the deeper knowledge about these subject matters. So this is one of the qualifications. Means one must be very humble, and it is not enough. Saying is not enough. Everybody says you have to be humble, but we have to practice. We have to naturally manifest. Okay, everybody says that you are not humble. You are arrogant, or you are this and that. But how do you practice humility? How does it come through? How does it manifest in the life of a person? In order to practice, develop pure devotional service, this is one of the requirements that here, even in chanting Maha Mantra, so without this, you cannot chant properly. So this is one of the requirements. In order to be sincere. So we say this all the time, but then how do we practice? How many of us are practicing? But that's the opposite is that you become very easily angry. Instead of becoming humble, you become very proud. Very proud, and this is a natural thing. It comes without, it doesn't require any training. In order to become angry, do they have the university how to become angry? We don't see any institution how to become angry. Because it comes automatically. Why? But Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, we have to be humble. Right? And the second point that Gauranga Mahaprabhu says is that, you see, Taroriva Sahishnuna. One must be tolerant. It's called in the Bhagavad Gita, Titikshava. Titikshava Karunika. See, in the Bhagavatam, there's the qualities of in practicing devotional service, saintly person. Titikshava Karunika. One must be very tolerant, and one must be very compassionate. I mean, but without having this humility, how can you develop these qualities? So, here, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, gives an example that one must be more tolerant than the tree. Right? Now, we see that all this, some time ago, we had one champa. Champa tree was there. Right? Remember, it was champa tree, right? That was, is it correct? There was a champa tree here? Yeah, so that's it. That was in our previous life, and we showed it here. But we see that always standing there, and even this tree has been standing for a long time, this bell tree. But always, whenever we come and see the beautiful trees there, and sometimes in different weather situations, but always there, no complaint. So this is an example that this is called tolerant, extreme tolerance. So this tolerant, so this is we say this all the time, but we practice. If you practice this, then you become a scientific. You are using your devotional life in a scientific way. It's called a scientific. It doesn't mean that you go to the lab and do some experiment. No, this is all the experiment is already there, but you practice it. So practice means you are putting in experimentation. So in this way, when one becomes very tolerant, more tolerant than the tree. So this is the very important qualification, how to practice pure devotional service. And then the third thing is that amanina manadena. So in very three simple things, Gauranga Mahaprabhu has included everything. Amanina manadena means one should be free from arrogance. One should not be puffed up by ahankarik, this mentality that the rajasic and this is tamasic gunas, this is called ahankar. This false ego comes only because of the influence of rajasic and the tamasic gunas, the dawabhav symmetry of nature. So we have to be free from that. Amanina manadena. So once we are free from this, all these influences of the modes of material nature, so then, at that time, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So one can actually chant this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. See, this chanting is very scientific. This is called Prabhupada, this is very scientific. Because scientific means we are doing it, we are practicing. The Prabhupada says chant 16 rounds, they're doing 16 rounds, so therefore it's scientists. So Prabhupada said, all the Hare Krishna people are the best scientists. They're all scientists. We have millions of scientists. So this is the Prabhupada's very, very practical explanation, not to confuse the people in general. So in this way, practical application. So in general, practical application of the teachings of the scriptures, in a practical daily application, in the scriptures, in our case, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and all these wonderful literatures of Krishna consciousness literatures. So if we apply this in our daily life, then this is called the practical application of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, sometimes we say, when speaking among the, let's say, scientists and others, we say Krishna consciousness is called the spiritual technology. Now we have this IT, right? Information technology. We have Indian Institute of Technology. But we have Universal Institute of Technology. What is that? Spiritual technology. That's the Krishna consciousness. I mean, Krishna, see, technology, IIT, see what happened in the scientific theory, but they put it in the engineering, let's say, work, or technological application. Therefore, it becomes technology. So that means a practical application of the theoretical knowledge into real practical utility. So similarly, the scriptures, the source of information. But you put it, this is called the spiritual technology. Or it becomes scientific application of the teachings of the scriptures in our daily life. Then it becomes very practically, it can be understood. Then you get the result. That's like, you see, our devotees, when you join, there's someone who deals with very, very bad habits, and sometimes, you know, everything, someone comes with, look when a drunkard, right? You see, on the road when some drunkard, and, you can easily see that this fellow must have done something wrong. But then when you come to Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada says, four regulative principles, follow, otherwise you can't stay. And you can't stay in the temple, follow four regulative principles, so immediately, and get saved up immediately the next day. And becoming, in 1 week, their eyes become very shining, and the face is very brilliant, and they become smiling, and they look, Prabhupada said, they look all like people from Vaikuntha planet. In the transform, in 1 week, because practical application, so this is called scientific, means the result, you see the result by practicing Krishna consciousness. So this is called, therefore Prabhupada used the word scientific in that category, in that conception. Scientific Krishna consciousness. So therefore, it is therefore very important for all of us to actually try to understand properly in the deeper in conception. And so that without that, but this comes only by the quality of humility. This is the foundation. Without that, nothing is going to work out. Nothing is possible because there's no room for this ahankar in the devotional journey. So therefore, this is a requirement. This is the qualification. This is the qualification. And in this way, one will make progress in the spiritual journey, because the journey is not very, very simple. Today, around the world, this devotional service is very discussed among the scientists. These are not ordinary scientists. These are, the topmost scientists of the world today. They also discuss about prayer. You see, you've heard about the prayer, right? Prayer. Now, 20 Nobel laureates, not too long ago, they discussed about prayer. The effect of prayer in the life of a person. Prayer. And it's scientific. See, they pray. The scientists are praying. There are different types of prayer, but they also say that the prayer is very scientific when you apply it. And there are many reports about prayer. And so today, the world has about 20 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, it was not so easy to speak to the scientists, especially of high caliber scientists, Nobel laureate people. If you talk about God or about spiritual things, that they will not listen to you. They will not even welcome you. They won't allow you to enter in his room. And because, this fellow is going something strange. He was going to stalk some message from the forest. So, but today, You see now, all these big book scientists are becoming very much interested. So, my experience in the last, let's say, about 10 years or so, in recent time, this actually practically happens after this called 9/11. 9/11, the tragedy that the terrorist attack on that two towers in New York City, you know, from that one good thing happened that all the scientists are becoming, they want to become devotees of Krishna. So, from that tragedy, something useful came. This is really a fact that they are looking, and they all want to become devotees. So therefore, we'll have very powerful devoted scientists very soon. So already some are already becoming. So in that connection, you see, Prabhupada, oftentimes Prabhupada said in this scientific prison, he said, "What good is your PhD?" When I saw Prabhupada, he told me, "What good is your PhD unless you can prove that God is a person?" So this was number one, Prabhupada's number one program in scientific preaching. Scientific preaching means to show that God exists and also to transform the hearts of the scientists. But therefore his first program was called Light Comes from Light. So you have to prove that light comes from light. So in other words, the scientists must be convinced about the existence of God. That light means, original life is Krishna. That means they have to accept about the existence of about God. Right? But when I wrote that little book called The Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness, when I opened in 1973, as my Vyasa was offering to Prabhupada, and so I wrote that little few, you know, those pages, Prabhupada said, "No, this will be published as a book." And so it said he put some illustration, and he published from the BBT, that the scientific basis of Krishna consciousness. But there was just a small little sketch. But Prabhupada said, "This is very scientific." And so therefore this principle is very important to recognize that today the scientists are becoming interested. So therefore I just wanted to show you this book. It say God is a person. So this title came. This was the title game was given by Prabhupada. Prabhupada to me, he said, you can prove that God is a person. So this would be your, he said, the laurels of your taking your PhD, Prabhupada said, the laurels of your taking PhD, or getting PhD degree, is to, if you can prove that God is a person, then that will be the laurel of your PhD. So therefore, see, this was Prabhupada said many times in the scientific preaching, because from this, you can prove about life comes from life. And these two scientists, I only talked it last year, because, you see, I have met practically many of the important scientists of the world today, around the world. And this is called Professor Towns. Professor Towns he gave the keynote address in Calcutta when we organized the conference for the synthesis of science and religion as Prabhupada's centennial program. He came, he gave the keynote address. And he's the one who got Nobel Prize for discovering laser. Today is a laser eye operation. If you have any surgery and anything laser, like contributions of laser printing, you know, like all these things are his contribution. And his town is 90 years old. And so we discussed, now this time we speak directly with God, about God. We didn't discuss much about, material science. But it's because they are physicists. Both are physicists. Both are Nobel laureates. And both are, I would say, some of the most prominent, Nobel laureates of our century, of our time, in the field of physics. So, and both somehow, by the blessings of Prabhupada, somehow I got a little bit tied up with them, because we became friends. And now we can discuss directly about God. So you can see all these discussions are only about God. But a scientist, and from a scientific understanding about the existence of God. So both of them say that God is a person. So God has a personal relationship. Einstein had a conception of God, but his conception of God is Mayavadi. But we don't want Mayavadi philosophers. So therefore, these are these are exceptional, let's say, scientists, and so they are very, very, let's say, you can see that this, you can see, please read this. I think there's some copies that are available here. Everyone should get a copy of this. You see, you can discuss what is the discussion. And I think you can see some very interesting, let's say, connection with the scriptures. And from the scriptures, and also they also mention some scriptures from the Bible. And I mentioned from the our target is from the Bhagavatam. Brahmeti Paramatmati Bhagavaniti. So this was the Tim insight. But the way that they express from their own point of view. So therefore, I wanted to request you that this is a good material to go through it. And so when you have any, let's say, comments and like that, please send me. Please send some criticism and something, you know, to improve it. It is just beginning. This is the first production. So this one, I just wanted to kind of announce, because today pretty much focusing on scientific preaching. So because my whole life is a robot, only trained me how to do scientific preaching. That was my kind of the agenda that Prabhupada set aside for me. So therefore, this is my prime duty in serving Srila Prabhupada. Now, the second book, this is also came, this is about a few weeks ago. This is called Life and Matter and Interaction. The distinction between spirit and matter. So this is distinction of spirit and matter is required in order to become a pure devotee of the Lord. You have to understand what is the distinction between the Atma and also this matter. You have to understand what is the distinction between a particle electron and also the particle of the transcendental particle of life. What is it called? Transcendental particle of life? What is it called? The when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mama Ivansha Jivaloki, Jiva Buddha Sanatana. What does that mean? So the Mama Ivansha means particle, right? Ansha means particle. Mama Ivansha means my particle. That means the transcendental particle of Krishna, that is called Atma, right? So this is correct. So therefore Krishna says, Mama Ivansha Jivaloki, Jiva Buddha Sanatana. So therefore, in our modern, let's say, terminology, so we call spiritum. The fundamental particle, spiritual particle of Krishna is called spiritum. You understand? Means the same thing, Mama Ivansha. Krishna says that fundamental particle of the Supreme Spirit. So if you say Supreme Spirit is Krishna, so the fundamental particle of Krishna is called spiriton. Spiriton means fundamental particle, spiritual particle. So when the scientists heard that spiriton, they all like, oh yes, spiriton, what is it, how does it look like, what is the difference from matter? So they begin to inquire. So this is about that. This is called the distinction between life and matter. So this life and matter, when you say spiriton, then you can ask, what is the distinction between electron? Electron is the fundamental particle of matter, right? And the spiriton is the fundamental particle of Supreme Spirit, particle of Krishna. So the distinction is that the electron, it has no consciousness. Is it there? Electron has no consciousness, but spiriton has a consciousness, has a personality, has a free will, and spiriton wants to take Mahaprasadam. You see? But electron doesn't want that. So in this way, it's very simple. And that interaction. So therefore, this is another area. I met a lot of thought here about these different qualities, about distinction between life and matter. Like in the Bhagavad Gita also said that there are five gross elements and three subtle elements. These are called separated energy. But besides that, there is the spiritual, that the jiva-atma, the soul, is a transcendental. This is exactly the same, but you make it into, let's say, scientific understanding. So therefore this is called scientific presentation of Krishna consciousness. So the distinction between spirit and matter. And so once you have this, then you can ask, who am I? ascended. Aham Brahmasmi, right? Aham Brahmasmi. Scripture said Aham Brahmasmi. So I am the fundamental particle of Krishna. Brahmasmi means I am fundamental particle of Krishna. I am the spirit soul. I am the particle of light. So this is a, then it becomes natural. Then you can, the scientists can easily accept. They can understand this if they have a little background. Aham Brahmasmi. So in this way, it will be quite useful. And and also this knowledge, you see, if you go further in the Bhagavad Gita, in the further chapter, and Krishna says that Rajavidya Rajaguham Pavitram Idamuttamam. So this knowledge, the coming verse, once you know what is the difference between matter and spirit, so that parts within that confidential knowledge. Rajavidya Rajaguham Pavitram Idamuttamam Dharmam Pratiksha Bhagamam Susukam Kartumabhayam. So therefore, this knowledge about the devotional science, it is called Rajavidya Rajaguham. Pavitram Idam Uttamam. There was left out. Rajavidya Rajaguham Pavitram Idam Uttamam Dharmam Prataksha Bhagamam Susukam Kartamabhayam. So this knowledge is Rajavidya, the king of education. What is that knowledge? The knowledge about the science of the soul. It also includes the knowledge about the science of the understanding, the difference between spirit and matter, life and matter. So, and plus, applying in the, but once we know that, how to engage in devotional service, pure devotional service. So this knowledge is called the king of education. And also it is a Rajaguham. It is actually confidential, king of all confidential knowledge. And it is also the Pavitram Idam Uttamam. It is very pure. Idam Uttamam, it is highest. So this knowledge, so therefore in order to practice this the highest knowledge that one has to build the foundation properly. The foundation, in other words, the background has to be understood. But if we don't have any knowledge, then devotional life, unless I get a special mercy from Krishna and from the spiritual master, that it may not be so easy to carry on. So therefore this is very important. Rajavidya Rajaguham Pavitram Idam Uttamam Dharmam Prataksha Bhagamam Shishukam Kartamabhayam. There's one very important one here. Prataksha is a sense perception. But actually sense perception is there are four defects of the senses, right? So there's four defects. Because of that, sometimes it's not possible to understand and the knowledge properly. But when the senses are purified completely, when the senses are transformed into spiritual senses, then it becomes completely pure. In that pure state of mind, that you can have direct perception. It's called like revelation. The revelation is called Sabda Praman in our Vedantic epistemology. So this direct perception, in other words, when the senses are completely spiritualized, consider the divine eyes, and when there is no defect, then at that time the senses are possible to receive the knowledge directly. So that this is what it is. Prataksha bhagamam dharmam prataksha bhagamam susukham kartamabhayam. Then you are in the transcendental mode of happiness. Then become Satchidananda, Anand, in Ananda Sagara, in the ocean of happiness, that by understanding what you are doing, developing pure devotional service, then it becomes very enjoyable, because it's natural, the natural function of the jiva. Like we realize that jiver sarupahai krishner nityadas. So this we become realize in a practice in our daily life. In our daily life practice means jiver sarupai krishner nityadas. To recognize that the fundamental particle of Krishna is to recognize that he or she is the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is actually our the goal of our this devotional practice is actually to realize these things and to practice it in our daily life, in our day-to-day life. So in this way, it is possible to develop these qualities, pure devotional qualities. And that way, our journey in devotional life will be only a journey of happiness. And free from all difficulties and the troubles. And that way, become simply joyful. Simply joyful. And so in this way, since we did a long kirtan, so therefore, so I just wanted to say one more point. This is may not be exactly connected, but this is kind of an announcement. The announcement, because Bombay, the planet of Bombay is very important in Krishna consciousness. So I just want to make an announcement that the university, called university, I'm building one university in Manipur. So this is like the temple is called university. So this is called University of Bhagavad Culture. This University of Bhagavad Culture will be open next year in 2007. In November 21. So please come and bless. Please come and bless, because it will be, the temple will not be completely finished. Because Manipur, see, I am a very small person. My abilities are very, very insignificant. And so my resources are very small. Therefore, the temple started about 25 years ago. And under the instruction of Prabhupada. And so it's going slowly, slowly. We had small items every year. So it has been going, and the temple will not be completely finished, but major portion will be finished. So therefore, it is scheduled to be, and it will be a major festival. It will be part of the festival of the century that I'm planning. See, I have a plan called to do this devotional festival as called the festival of the century. So it's a preparation. So on 21st of November, so please come. See, Prabhupada planned to visit Manipur for 2 years, 1976 and 1977. Prabhupada was planned to visit Manipur because he wanted to visit Manipur, and somehow the foreigners could not go at a time. In 1976, the visa was not possible, because this, still now we need the foreign permission. Even they come to India, but they cannot go to Manipur unless there is a special visa. And also there has to be minimum 4 people, and very, very restrictive. You know, just, you know, notice because of insurgency and all these many, you know, other difficulties. But Prabhupada planned for 2 years to visit Manipur, 1976 and 1977. So, but somehow Prabhupada physically, he could not make it. And so therefore, if you all come, that especially from Bombay, that it will be just like Prabhupada is coming with you. So therefore, please come, and we'll have many, you know, nice programs, and we are staging several things, and so this is planned. So therefore, this is a open invitation. So please come, and there will be. Although it is a little far away from here, but there will be many individuals, very different type of individuals, many different types of individuals who come from all over the planet, sometimes from upper planetary systems. So please visit, and please give us your blessings, and so I will not take any questions. I just wanted to forget to inform you. So this journal, this magazine is called Science and the Theology. Science and the Theology. This is a, and I'm involved with this organization, and I'm involved very strongly, deeply with this organization. So all these publications are helped by this organization for me. So therefore, I'm closely connected with them. But here, this article
of
William Phillips, his article is also there. This is actually June, this month's issue. I just came from this conference, from the United States.
And you can see that
his article is, and this magazine, you can get free. If you want, I can make this available free for 1 year. And it will send you monthly. And it's very interesting, let's say, if you want to engage in scientific preaching, this is one way. And I have one journal called Savigyanam. This is for the little advanced people in science. And there is another journal called Tattva Jigyasa. This is for the students. This is a magazine. And this is not come out yet, but this is coming out next week. This before the Rath Yatra. This is called Tattva Jigyasa. Means a scientific and a spiritual inquiry about the nature of ultimate truth. So that is called from Bhagavatam, Tattva Jigyasa. So that is for the students. And the students can write articles. And so this is coming within the next 1 week. So I think with that, I'd like to thank all of you. And please stay well. By the blessings of Prabhupada. Radha Ras Pyari. See, Prabhupada, in 1977, you see, Prabhupada, with ill health, he came out of India in 1977. That was around the month of August. Prabhupada. And then he came up to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Bhaktivedanta Manor. You know, this is in London. But Prabhupada in a very, very, very difficult health situation. And at that time, we had a meeting. We are about 5-6 GBC members in California. And we sent a telegram to Vrindavan requesting Prabhupada, please don't come. Please don't make this journey. Don't come to America. This was our request. We are about 4-5 GBC members. I was one of them. We signed. And requesting Prabhupada, please don't make this journey. It will be very difficult because of the health situation. But nonetheless, somehow, the telegram was received, Prabhupada decided to go to Liverpool. So he came up to London, John. And then I came from Boston. Our Bhaktivedanta Institute was in Boston, in the United States, preparing for a conference in Vrindavan on Life Comes From Life. It was decided by Prabhupada that 1977 in Vrindavan, in May, it was finalized in Vrindavan, first international conference on Life Comes From Life in Vrindavan. So that I went to prepare for that in Boston. And then I had to come back. And then when I came back, I saw Prabhupada in in the manor. And so I was shocked because when I left Vrindavan, Prabhupada's health was not that bad. But this was only skin. Bone in the skin. It looks like almost, the hand was just like, the bone covered by skin. I said, how is it possible in such a situation Prabhupada could come like that? And so it was, then when I came, I went straight to Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada, I brought a huge garland from Boston. And I offered a garland to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started crying. Thank that when he saw me, he was crying. And that I didn't know what to say because I was also completely, just to see Prabhupada in that situation. And so it was very difficult. And then Prabhupada said, with the tears are coming out in his eyes, and he said, I am not against the scientists, but I am against their presenting wrongly, misguiding these innocent people of the world. So therefore, you have to. He actually gave some very important instructions there on that day. You should make this scientific presentation very vigorously all over the world. So go all over the world, and I'll supply all the money, whatever you need. And so you make this program immediately. And then, the conference was planned in Vrindavan, that first international conference on Life Comes From Life. And then, after that, what happened in the early next morning, he called me. And Prabhupada said at the time, I was alone in Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, he was speaking in Bengali. He said, Prabhupada said, Amar jibon shesh hoye jacche. He says, my life is coming to an end. My life is coming to an end. No, I don't want to go to America. You take me to Bombay. Please take me to Bombay. I want to see Bombay. And so then he said, please call Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was not there inside, but he was, I think, chanting maybe somewhere outside the building in the manor. Then Prabhupada, Prabhupada came back from London to Bombay. So that's how Prabhupada came back from that journey. He came back. He was planning to go to Gitanagari in the United States, but Prabhupada didn't reach United States. But he said, I want to go back to Bombay. And I want to see the temple was inaugurated yet. But, so in this way, Prabhupada had a tremendous, you know, like Radharasa Bihariji. And I remember, you know, that in the, just near the gate there, we had a little sect temple, Prabhupada's, you know, he used to do every day Guru Puja after the morning walk. But Prabhupada, coming from the beach. And, but so Prabhupada had a, he said, Bombay is my office. Bombay is my office. And Prabhupada also told me that, Bhaktivedanta Institute, I should have my headquarters in Bombay. Prabhupada, see, Prabhupada had so much love and affection about this program called Scientific Preaching. He said, this is the most important preaching arm of ISKCON, because this will bring prestige to the movement, because many important young intellectual students, young scholars and scientists will come and join Krishna consciousness. And when we have this, then the whole world will admire, yes, all this caliber, this type of, you know, people are there in the Hare Krishna people. So therefore, Prabhupada felt that this will bring the prestige. And and then the whole world will respect, and this is Krishna consciousness movement. So therefore, Bombay Prabhupada had a very, very important plan in Prabhupada's mission. So therefore, so we pray that, you know, by the blessings of Prabhupada, please say, all remain strong and help the leaders here who's organizing. And I see that the next complex is coming, and so this heaven, what is it, heaven? Oh yeah, heaven on earth. So they just like Garaka, when Chaitanya, when Narottam Das Thakur says, what does it say? Golokero Premadhana Harinam Sankirtana. So this Premadhana is the wealth, the treasure, wealth of love from Goloka Vrindavan has now descended in this material world in order to enlighten the sincere soul. So therefore, heaven on earth reminds me that kind of idea. Heaven on earth means Krishna consciousness. So by the blessings of Prabhupada, by the blessings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so the wonderful facility has been created, and so therefore, many, many intelligent and very important and very sincere souls will gather and under the leadership of this Bombay management. So therefore, please stay well, healthy and strong, and singing with great enthusiasm every day. So in this way, the whole world will be inspired, and Prabhupada will be extremely pleased. And in the process of conversation, so when he said Bombay, the construction is going on. So I this thought came from my mouth, saying that Prabhupada, maybe since your health is so much in a difficult situation, maybe if necessary, maybe we can stop the construction moment for some time. I gave this word to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, oh, why stop? It'll go on. This construction can never be stopped. It'll go on. And so he was so much, enthusiastic about his Bombay project. And so therefore, so this brings, you know, this memory that when you see now, you know, very nice, this altar is very impressive. Prabhupada will be extremely pleased. And at this new project, I'm going to see it today, because I am interested in the infrastructure. Wherever I go around the world, I always go and look the arts and the cravings, and I sometimes borrow some of his ideas and put it in Manipur. You can see that the temple in Manipur is a combination of the Western architect and the our Vaishnava architect and the Oriental, like especially the Balinese architect, and many combinations, and little and from Bhagavatam Sankhya philosophy, and distance are somehow kept within the structure. So therefore we are doing it in a very very slowly, and also our resources are not you know, Bombay is a very different planet, but Manipur is a completely different entirely, and so therefore we do it in a small way. But I think it will be when it is finished, I think it will be at least, you know, hopefully we are praying that Prabhupada will be pleased. So please give me, another announcement is that in Puri this year, in December 9 and 10, I am organizing a conference called All India Students Conference on Science and Spiritual Quest. So this is fixed in Puri, and there are some foreign speakers coming, and so this will be mostly the cream of Indian students we are inviting, mostly from the IITs, IIT campuses. This is only 2 days conference, and on the third day is we do the parikrama of Jagannath Puri, and then we go in the ocean. So that's you can have some scientific experience about swimming in the ocean. So we have some nice program, some nice plan, and I think, and also there is an essay competition. And on essay competition, we are giving some very nice prizes. But this is a students essay competition. It will reach all the campuses of India. It's called a national conference, and so this is also happening. And so November and December will be mostly in Orissa. Orissa is in the planet of India. I think Orissa is a very important section in this planetarium system. So therefore, please come. Jagannath Temple is there, and you can have a very nice program. So I think that's all for now. And so please go and take Mahaprasadam. Jai Guru Maharaj Prabhupada ki. Jai Guru Prabhupada ki.